Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachiyomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. Mazel Tov on the completion of Sefer Iyov. The Siyum with Dr. Esther Shkap will take place 12 noon Eastern on Thursday, September 21st. Sign up at ou.org/women/Siyum. As we approach Rosh Hashanah, I wish you and your family a year of good health, happiness, and holiness. Ksiva v'chasima tova from the entire OU Women's Initiative team. In case you've missed any of the recent Yimei Ratzon programs, please go to ouwomen.org/yr23. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Shkap, beginning in chapter 38. Wherein Hashem opens Iyov's eyes to some of the beauty and mystery of creation. This book comes to a dramatic climax. Iyov's quest to confront God face to face is finally fulfilled, and simultaneously his body is healed. In God's first response, in chapters 38 and 39, Iyov learns firsthand that God had heard his pleas, and discovers that the Creator remains lovingly and actively involved in protecting and nurturing all of his creatures. His fears that Hashem had abandoned this world and left it to capricious and blind forces were allayed. But his troubling questions about the suffering of the innocent remained unanswered. Then, in chapters 40 and 41, Hashem proceeded to elaborately describe two fantastical beasts, which somehow leads Iyov to the 42nd and final chapter of this book, in which he finally submits and concedes the arguments. And so it begins. Vayan Iyov et Hashem vayomar, Yadati ki chol tuchal, velo yibatzer mimcha mezima. Then Iyov answered Hashem and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no plan of yours can be thwarted. Iyov opens by restating something he had believed all along, namely, that God is all-powerful and can do whatever he pleases. But then Iyov interjects two verses that paraphrase the very words uttered by the voice out of the whirlwind. Mi ze ma'alim etza bli da'at. Lachen higadeti velo avin. Nifla'ot mimeni velo eda. Shmana v'anoch yedaber eshalcha. Behodieni. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. I will ask of you, and you will inform me. Is he of mimicking the Almighty? Is he intimating that Hashem has not answered his questions before conceding that he had been speaking and complaining about phenomena that no human mind can comprehend? What did Hashem offer in the second response about the Behemoth and Leviathan that pushed Iyov over the edge and made him give up the fight? What did he learn that he hadn't known before that led him to surrender in verses 5 and 6? Lishema ozen shmaticha, ve'ata eini ra'atcha, al ken emas, v'nichamti al afar va'efer. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now, finally, my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor and repent, seeing as I am but dust and ashes. Iyov learned that his suffering has a purpose, even if he can't see it. The true reason for Iyov's tribulations was never explained to him or his friends. Only we, the readers, are privy to the secret in the prologue. Iov's suffering and his responses to his pain and loss were not intended to uncover God's mysterious ways, but they did successfully prove the spiritual heights that can be attained by a human being, a mere mortal whose body is destined to become dust and ashes, but whose soul thirsts for meaning. Please note that the phrase Nichamti al afar va'efer are reminiscent of Avraham's confrontation with God when he dared to ask, Chalila lecha ha-shofet kol ha'aretz lo ya'aseh mishpat? It would be a sacrilege for you. Will the judge of the whole world not do justice? And Avraham then added, Hineina ho'alti ledaber, v'anochi afar va'efer. I dared resolve to speak to my master, though I am but dust and ashes. Note that the verb nichamti has multiple meanings and can suggest a change of attitude or a feeling of resolution or a sense of comfort and condolences. Iov found peace and consolation in the newfound knowledge and in his heightened love of God. Hitherto, Iov's relationship to God was based on acceptance of traditional lore, a reliance on the written and oral testimony of those who experienced nevuah. Now he himself saw and knew God without intermediaries and was certain that whatever happened was no accident. Iov experienced firsthand the profound happiness of God's embrace, which David so longs for in Tehillim 27, Lachazot benoam Hashem, to behold Hashem's grace. Hashem responds to Iov's heroic submission, beginning with verse 7 in this chapter, addressing the eldest of Iov's friends, Eliphaz. Hashem tells him that he's angry with him and his peers, for they did not speak appropriately, as had Iov, God's loyal servant. Vayomer Hashem el Eliphaz hateimani, chara api bicha uvishnei re'echa, ki lo dibartem elai nechona ke'avdi Iov. God affirms that Iov spoke properly and refers to him no less than three times in the ensuing epilogue as my servant, an honorific reserved for the very few, such as Avraham, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, and David HaMelech. Is this a vindication of all of Iov's words, or just those at the beginning of this chapter? Furthermore, what was wrong with the words of the three friends, who merely echoed Moshe Rabbeinu's assertion in Ha'azinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu declared, Hatzur tamim po'alo, ki chol drachav mishpat, el emuna ve'en avel, tzadik ve'yashar hu. The Creator, His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Furthermore, if Iov's friends are so wrong in their beliefs, how did they merit the rare gift of prophecy and have God speak directly to them? While the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim argues that Hashem is affirming only Iov's confessional words in the beginning of this chapter, most Mefarshim disagree. Malbim suggests that Hashem prefers all of Iov's words, even the erroneous and seemingly blasphemous ones, because they were spoken honestly, as Iov was struggling to find the God of truth, who is Rachum v'chanun, and would not pervert justice. If he erred in concluding that God may have abandoned humanity, Iov searched for the truth, and for the God he so loved was laudable. Iov's friends, on the other hand, repeated learned truisms, which they did not truly believe. They stuck with conventional theology, uttering what they had been taught, fearing that they might suffer God's wrath, as Iov had. Chazal in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Masechet Brachot, declare, "The prophets know that their God is truth and is cognizant of truthful words. Therefore, they do not flatter him." God indeed despises sycophants. Rashi explains that even if Iov uttered inappropriate accusations against God, asserting that Hashem is capriciously cruel, such as when he said, "Tam v'yashar hu mechale," he destroys the innocent and the wicked, Iov did so out of insufferable pain. The Gemara in Baba Vatra teaches, "Ein adam nitpas b'sha'at tza'aro." We do not hold a person accountable for his expressions uttered in his grief and pain. In contrast, his friends had no excuse for their utterances, as they condemned Iov without any evidence, accusing him of unnamed sins, just to reconcile his suffering with their conventional doctrine of reward and punishment. They could not tolerate the dissonance between their beliefs and what was in front of their eyes. Furthermore, they failed to commiserate and sympathize with Iov's agony as Elihu had. Therefore, Hashem commands the friends in verse 8, "Ve'ata, k'hu lachem shiva parim, u'shiva elim, u'lichu el avdi Iov, ve'eletim ola be'atchem, ve'Iov avdi yitpalel alechem, ki im panav esa, levilti asot imachem nevala, ki lo dibartem elai nechona ke'avdi Iov. Now, therefore, take 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him and his prayer I will accept, that I do not do to you something unseemly. For you have not spoken of me correctly, as did my servant Job." Ramban indicates that clearly Hashem not only absolves Iov of any guilt, he has elevated Iov to the status of a Kohen, whose prayers and blessings on behalf of others are powerful and accepted by God. The man Iov throughout this saga did not pray. But having tasted the sublime joy of seeing Hashem's face, he became a worthy intercessor who found the power of prayer. Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, the Satmer Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, who escaped the worst horrors of the Shoah, was departing from Israel to return to America when one of his Hasidim asked the Rebbe for a bracha and expressed his concern that in the Rebbe's absence he would have no one to turn to for advice or a blessing. The Rebbe comforted him and said, "Go to any Jew with a number tattooed on his arm and ask him for a bracha." In explaining the power of the prayers of one who suffered and prevailed, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs remarked, "Who is better to lift up one who is struggling than a fellow Jew who has been to the depths of hell and back?" Iov forgave his friends and interceded on their behalf, transcending his own tragedy and sorrow. and focusing his energy on loving others. Our sages in Baba Kama teach that whoever pleads on behalf of his friend when he needs help as well, Hashem fulfills his needs first. As Eov moved beyond his own agony, directing his mind to helping others, Hashem restored his fortune and social standing and blessed him anew with a large family, empathic friends, and embracing community throughout a long and prosperous life. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezul Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.